We're going to have to kill the fan, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We have fans all over the place. Joining us is one of our biggest. Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
In the heart, you say?
In the heart.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, even when it is super, super hot.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, CISFAIL students of the Seven Seals and their compound.
That's right.
Sorry, I overloaded the mic there with excitement.
That's okay.
It's Ravens, by the way.
Ravens, you say?
Ravens, yeah, okay. Definitely.
We are here with Brian CISFAIL of Paz and of Portland Bike Fun. Long time. You came in a year and a half ago now?
Or was it
just 6 months ago?
I think it was probably about a year and a half
ago. Long time ago. It's been too long.
It's been a while.
Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah.
But
it's fun. This is a good show.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
CISFAIL is storied and has stories and brought them here. So new developments, some of which involve new things, some of which involve old traditions. And so we're going to talk about all of that in just a little bit. But thank you for being here. We are enjoying, at your request, an amber ale.
I love it. I love it.
We're all sharing one amber ale.
It's good.
Except for you, which you're enjoying.
I've got a kombucha. Unfortunately, not from Lionheart.
No, not from Lionheart. And the reason for that is that I was too busy this last weekend. You and I both had busy weekends.
We did.
Too Our busy to go packed. Into the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12th, which is my shame.
It's never too busy to shill for them.
Good place.
Busy to go in.
I'm a big fan, yeah. But what happens when I don't go down there to pick things up is that, you know, we don't have things.
I guess I could have gone down there yesterday, but I didn't do anything yesterday.
Hey,
I just laid down.
What have you been up to since the last time we talked?
Well, so we talked, I think, a little bit about the bus safety exercise competition.
The contest to see who would be the safest bus driver in Oregon.
In the state.
Yeah.
I didn't make it.
You're not the safest bus driver?
No. No, the results were pretty, they were a little surprising in that there were people who placed lower on the scale than I thought. Like, I figured the odds were, you know, for them. And then there was one guy in particular who was notoriously, this I can only talk about, you know, our team.
Sure.
Was notoriously bad in practice. And, and you know, I say that with all love and good nature. He's,
right.
He's also, like, probably one of the most positive members of the team.
A good person.
Yeah. But just was notoriously bad at the events.
Okay.
And he ended up placing way higher than any of us expected, and I didn't even place. So
it just goes to show that you never know
what
you can expect from anything.
Exactly.
Life is weird.
Perceptions.
Yes, indeed. So we did that. It was super hot then.
Yeah.
It's super hot now.
I think it reached 101 that day.
Yeah, we're on our third day of like above 90 degrees and for much of it above 100. So it's that heat snap that, you know, in Portland, Oregon, everyone is wilty when it becomes this way, and no one's used to it. So we have to comfort people and make sure they all drink enough water. But
don't worry, the good people up on the Alameda Ridge are still watering their lawns. So their lawns will be okay.
At least it looks nice when I commute to work in the morning.
It trickles down, dude.
Oh, it
trickles down economics.
That's what Reagan was talking about.
That's right.
Zing.
Yeah. We should note on that note that because it is so hot, we've got like all the openings to the space we're recording in open, and we're close to a freeway, and there's a fan in the other room trying to move some air around for us. So you may hear some noise, and that's what it is. And you may not hear some noise, and if so, nothing is weird.
Nothing is different. Nothing is out of the ordinary whatsoever.
You're just hearing your weekly show, and you're enjoying it like you usually do. So, yeah. You got the room. You stayed in the room.
So, Anna and I got a bed and breakfast because I didn't want to commute an hour at 5 a.m. on what is supposed to be my day off.
Right.
You know, it's
for a voluntary exercise.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we rented Bromptons from Clever Cycles.
There we go.
And went
folding
to
bicycles.
Got an Airbnb room. And it was like 3-4 blocks maybe from Portland Meadows. I was really surprised how close it was to Portland Meadows and how nice the place was with its proximity to Portland Meadows.
Because the horse track is not necessarily known to be, like, the classiest place in the world.
Well, and, I mean, you've been there. Like, that whole neighborhood and that whole area, I mean, just geographically speaking,
it's like an industrial jumble that's hard to get to.
Well, and just with the geography, you've got the Columbia Slough there. You've got just all this, for lack of a better term, swampland just hanging out there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
As I say, yes.
It makes it easy for fun to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
But, yeah, we took some Bromptons up there with us. And then this is kind of funny. I got up to go, and I'm like, Anna, we got to go. And she's like, no. I'm like, it's 6:30. I got to be there at 6:45. And she's like, you go ahead.
You have to be there at 6:30.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I don't have to be there at 6:30.
Checkout's not till noon.
Wait, did she go back to nap until noon?
Not until noon.
Okay.
But like I arrived and people were like, oh, where's Anna? And I'm like, well, checkout's at noon, so we'll probably see her at 12:30.
Like it should be. Yeah, no, that's not a bad idea.
You got to get your money's worth, right?
Totally.
I can't falter for that.
Speaking of your money's worth, I'm just curious. Was it weird staying in an Airbnb in your own town?
Kind of, in the fact that, I mean, our hosts were really cool, but because they knew we were still staying in or that we came from Portland.
Right.
It was like, you know, whoa, where are you from in Portland? And then I feel like
I'm from Michigan.
Well, no. Like they were asking like what neighborhood, we're from. And then I kind of like felt some sort of like neighborhood like rivalry or
what do you want? Know. You comparing?
right, exactly.
You asking why I should stay at your place?
Because I'm a Southeasterner. Is that, you got some problem with that, huh, lady?
I think that's the best thing you could possibly do when you're renting someone else's room is to start an argument about what neighborhood they're located in.
I was bored and I wanted to see how people in North Portland.
I wanted to watch people that live close to the track and see what they do.
I wanted to see how the gentrification was going. How's it going?
What's happening in your backyard? Yeah. But that's super cool. I think I mentioned this last week.
It's kind of a really creepy way to also meet your neighbors.
Right. or an economically loaded way.
So where do you live? Just two blocks away.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a great idea because, like, how many times have I thought, oh, I wish that I didn't have to get up an hour early so that I could just go somewhere and do something I have to do? And the fact is, you don't if there are options.
I will say I was more comfortable with like coming and going.
Yeah.
Than I and like just again like just coming and going as opposed to when we stayed at the Airbnb in Seattle, like I felt the need to check in with our host.
Oh sure. Like let them know you're there.
Yeah. Like hey,
let them
I'm
know
here.
You're not.
And like yeah okay we're going now.
Right. And I'm always whenever I rent, like I usually get hotel rooms just because they're easier to arrange most times.
They are,
and they're
but
more
they
convenient.
Were so much more expensive.
Oh, and I don't blame you. No, seriously. But the thing that I've found is that there's a couple different ways you can go. If you rent Airbnb from someone, you can rent either a room in someone's house, which is like a traditional B&B.
Right.
Or you can rent an entire place. And the entire place is the kind of rental that I prefer.
That
because
be
then
cool.
You don't have to talk to anybody coming or going. You can come and go as you please. You don't have to, like, there's no small talk. And I figure, like, if I want small talk, there's couch surfing.
Right.
And you pay for your accommodations by sharing stories and talking to people and that sort of thing. And I mean, different people have different ideas, but like when I hear about someone doing Airbnb and they're like, "Oh yeah, we hung out with the host or like the, you know, the person that owned the place. We hung out with them and talked to them for 3 hours." I'm like, "You didn't get your money's worth." But that's just my thought. That's, you know,
you
everyone has their own perspective, so. But I'm happy for you. Did you? You said you might got. You might have gotten some what sun allergy?
Oh, I thought I got.
You're
like
allergic to the
poison.
Sun. Sun poisoning. What did you feel
I think,
like?
Like I was at least displaying symptoms.
Because it was hot. We were out on a big parking lot.
I thought I was running a fever, but I was sweating, so I wasn't running a fever.
Right.
But yeah, just felt really hot. Like beyond just the weather. Because my room luckily had air conditioning. I was running that and still sweating.
Right.
And like just generally weak, kind of like as if I had the flu without the nausea. And then when I did try to eat, like it, I did feel nauseous.
Then you got the nausea.
Yeah. Then I did feel nauseated.
Okay.
And then, yeah. Like I couldn't put solids down. It's not that.
It's not like you're dehydrated.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was just really severely dehydrated.
Being
like,
from Florida, like it, out in like the sun, like if you're not drinking water, your body temperature, you can just get like your body can just get hot.
Really?
Like your temperature, your energy. Well, and if you're dehydrated, you start feeling sick.
And that's right. And I, like I didn't get sunburn. And like, but yeah, I felt like my skin was like radiating heat as well, as if I got sunburn.
Yeah. It's just your body was like, so you're low on water and you're just like, basically they call it like sunstroke, sunstroke or whatever.
Okay.
You know, where it's like, it's basically just starts, you start getting dizzy because of it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is I never felt any of the symptoms until the day after, but maybe it just took that long for my body to like, you know, finally flush all of its water out and was like, wait a minute.
If you were still like dehydrated going through that.
Yeah.
And like you were deficient. And I think basically it's like sodium electrolyte sort of stuff.
Sure.
I've gotten it.
It's what plants crave.
Yeah. It's what plants crave. I've gotten it before and it's taken me like 2 days to get, kind of
to get right,
to feel straight.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you what I did yesterday?
Yeah.
So I had this idea a long time out. I knew that I had this last Sunday. Yesterday, had that free on my calendar, and I wanted to do a big bike ride. And I've been like playing around because, famously, I've been against Strava because I thought Strava was for chumps, and then I started using Strava because it seemed like it counted calories for me better than any other app that I knew about.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to get too fat. And so I've been using that to kind of help regulate. But Strava on the website, you can track your motion, but you can also design routes. And ever since I found this GPS unit on the bike tour last summer, and I tried to find like whose it was and I couldn't figure it out. So I've been using it.
Right.
And, now I can like go out for long rides and it gives me directions and you can watch yourself on the map and be like, here you are. And so I was like, well, I'm going to do a big ride on this Sunday because safety exercise, I help as a judge.
Right.
By the way,
you stood out in the parking lot all day.
I did.
You know, I could at least, I went in and like watched people bet on horses.
Right.
Air condition.
Which is probably more fun than watching the business end of a school bus all day.
I'll say it's somehow sadder than probably betting on a horse myself.
Maybe so. Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was out in the lot, and then I kind of sent Twitters out all day. So if anybody follows me at Brockmon, BROCKMON, and they find the hashtag JudgeLife,
yes,
those are all pictures from the event. So if anybody wants to see like more yellow and concrete than you've ever seen in your life, there it is. But after that, you know, after like what, 9 hours on the tarmac or something, then we met up, we celebrated with the team.
Yeah,
I went to a party
Kenton
that night.
Station.
Yeah. Then I got up really early on Sunday morning and I went out for this ride. Aaron Green from We Were Like Sons.
Oh, he
went along for the ride.
No, he
went with me on this big long ride that I put together. But my idea was I'd never been to Mount Angel by bike and I'd never been to Amity by bike. And those are both kind of south in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
In the land of allergies, which I found out later, I had not dosed up enough on my Claritin. But I went down there and we were hoping to do 100 miles before I got to 100 degrees.
100 before 100.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was myself, my wife Adele. Aaron Green. Aaron Green went down to Mount Angel with us. We got there at 9 a.m., like 40 miles before 9, which is pretty
good.
Wow. But the thing
is... what time did you start?
Like 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
It was all right. Yeah. That was before the sun came up, and you could just like sail, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot of breeze, and yeah, it was nice. Then it got hot. So Aaron turned around, went back. We were going to try and get beer in Mount Angel, but it turns out nothing's open in a highly Catholic town.
On a Sunday.
At 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday, yeah.
Right.
The church was open. The doors were wide open. We blew past those.
You could get some wine there.
I suppose you're right, but you have to sit around and wait for it for a while. So we decided to go with that. We had lunch, and then Aaron took off, and he had to get back and do some other stuff. So Adele and I go to finish the rest of the ride. But at the end of the day, we did 70 more miles after that, just kind of looping out through these beautiful plains. Found some gravel, did some rolling through farm fields and that sort of thing. And it was fantastic. It was also super hot.
Yeah,
and
how could you stand that?
Well, that was the thing. Towards the end, I think the last 30 miles were the toughest. We came up towards Hillsboro, and it's not mountainous, but it's hilly. There's some ups and some downs. And that was the day. So, Sisbel, like you were saying, like you start to feel this like just this ache and pain, and you're like, what's wrong with my body? And part of it was like, I probably need to eat some more, need to drink some more water. But the rest of it was just like, I can't keep my body temperature down. It was so hot. And I think it was probably, I don't know, it was around 100 degrees for most of that time of the day.
Yeah.
We got done around 4:30, and then we had so many hamburgers. It's great. Found
usually,
this great little.
Usually, if you put somebody over in a shade like that, and they're sitting down, and they're just like sitting down in the shade, their body will still be like really hot.
Right. Oh. Right. And I had the chills
like their
and everything.
Overheating.
Yeah.
And it's like generally describes like how I felt it sometimes. It's like you'll get dehydrated, like cotton mouth.
Right.
You'll start feeling like weaker.
Yeah.
And then, like, you'll get, like, either, like, cramps that make you, like, stop what you're doing, basically. But it can almost become, like, dizzying. Like spot seeing sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little freaky.
It gets kind of scary. And it's like you realize, oh, I need to get in shade and, like, cool down my body.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that was basically what I did. That's what we do for fun because we're weird.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know. I enjoy, like, as long as I know that I'm not going to die doing this, it's
sure.
kind of like, I wonder how far I can push myself. And that's
right,
kind of
right.
like a, I don't know, that's a thing that I like to try just to see what is possible. So anyways, that's what I did yesterday. And
I'll tell
was...
you my high school story then.
So we are here. And yeah. we are alive, and we're drinking water, and
totally
we're drinking
water.
Beer.
Yeah, same
yeah.
time.
Yeah. So, Brian, what is new with you? And what the question I was going to ask you is, what are you excited about? Because you have a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, I'm trying to like you know, poke people to do stuff and like
trying to get brands
and help people to do stuff. So it's, you know, it's like fun, just trying to make fun happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paz has been, we've been doing like, you know, we kind of like we're, I don't know, we were getting kind of like we were doing Skillshares, but it was kind of more socials or potlucks. It wasn't really directed at a Skillshare, but now we've been doing really solid.
Well, let's explain that. So Paz is kind of a...
Paz is a, like a it's a collective.
A collective. I was going to say a it's co-working like, space, but not quite, not in the sense
we're
that
like
most people would think of it.
We're like in a Moose Lodge or Eagles Lodge for, you know, we're like a private club for bike enthusiasts and like makers, sort of, and social people.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like a place where nobody lives there. It's a big rule. Nobody lives there. And you can just go there and like bang on stuff and, you know, build your thing and... play guitar or whatever. It's,
there we go. Yeah,
yeah,
because people who, there are vastly varied interests from music to electronics to bicycles to lots of other things. Like,
yeah.
To brewing, right? There's some people brew
little,
and
a
few of them.
A little bit, yeah. It's a really poor location for that, so we really kind of stopped that.
Okay, gotcha.
We do drink a beer, though.
Right, it's been tried.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it still in the same location? Or
yeah,
have
yeah,
you guys
we have the same location.
Yeah, yeah. But you've been exploring the possibility of moving.
I don't think there is. I don't think that it would end at the location that it's at. It would just be that there would be another location.
Ah.
Yeah.
So this is like the pod, and the pod spreads its seeds out to start other locations. So you've got other things in the works.
Yeah.
Or someday there might be a compound.
We're trying to look for places further out to where a lot of our friends are being kind of pushed out to be around like 92nd and stuff like that.
Eastern Portland, because that's where the rent is affordable, and so that's where the people hang out.
Well, we still hang out in inner southeast, you know, it's just all relative. You know, I would like to still, you know, find another place that was more stable in inner southeast, you know.
Right.
We're doing a lot of talk about finding people to help us do like business, be more of like an actual like business corporation sort of thing, so we can do like fundraising or take donations and stuff and not be so private sort of funded, which is the way we are. But then at the same time, we're giving ourselves up to a lot. And so Paz is very unique in that it's actually, you know, another sort of member supported collective where we're not necessarily have no directive to be like community space. We're more, it's members supporting members. So it's like people that are like, it's like we're supporting ourselves.
Yeah. Right, right.
It's like we're not trying to like...
You're not looking to expand out necessarily.
Necessarily. People can come be part of it. It's totally free association, and I'm super... I've always been into non-authoritative like networks and community groups that are like mutually respectful. But it's actually that your focus are internally towards the members and the group and the community that you're supporting. You're not necessarily pulling in everybody's different issues into your group that are outside of your group.
It's interesting in group dynamics how it seems like sometimes you can either try to serve in a limited way the needs of many people, or you can really hone in on a certain group of people and offer them, like, you know, let's really get to the bottom of what it is you want to do and how to help you do it. And it seems like there are merits to both, but
it's a lot sincere trust. It's a way bigger trust relationship. It's
sure.
a very way bigger trust relationship.
Yeah.
They're setting up with, you know, it's like, I trust like other members. That's why we share. Okay. We share everything there.
Right.
ADX and all those other places do not. That's that they don't, we're totally different in that. Our
sure.
whole thing is,
well, like, it's a whole different model.
It's
with
a
ADX.
Totally. And like, there's lots of other for profit maker spaces that we're just like, totally, we're like old school. We're actually like the members supporting it, and that's why we're modeled after Eagles and Moose Lodges, and
right? Because they have
VFW halls and
they have
like
certain
that.
Limitations. You can't just walk in and be like, "I'm a moose now."
No, I mean, you can't. No, you got to sign in.
Right.
We got a sign in sheet at our front.
There's an initiation.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess that's what I've missed. I've never signed in.
We have an application form.
There we go. Yeah.
Well, we had a meeting where we actually reinstated that.
Okay, gotcha.
We were like, hey, the thing that's been getting kind of ignored, we need to like really be on that.
And it's not that you're trying to be like super exclusive, because people can participate. It's just you have a higher bar for entry than
it's like,
something else.
Yeah, it's like you said, like there's a higher level of trust.
There's a way higher level of trust to be around there. And like I said, we don't have hours. Also, so it's kind of like, but also when people are there, the door is sort of open, so people can kind of just like walk in.
Right. So if you don't have hours, who locks or unlocks the building?
We have a way of getting in.
Okay.
We have a shared way of getting in.
Gotcha.
It's also like a trust relationship.
And you
also
don't have to say anything more than that. But mm-hmm. Very cool. And you mentioned the Skillshare. This is the cool part about Paz, and I think we probably talked about this a little bit last time you were here, but. And by here, I mean there,
so
where we used to be.
So our only open hours are our Wednesday night Skillshare, but that's been happening every other week.
Yeah, and that's basically a time when someone's like, hey, I know how to do this thing.
This thing.
Do you want to know how to do this thing?
Yeah, exactly. I want to come teach it. So some of the past ones have been how to make your own LED light or light out of just about almost anything. So it was like an explanation of like basic electronics, basic wiring components, and then like basic just soldering skills.
Yeah.
And basically at stations, and people could put all their make stuff they want. And then the last one we had was a pre-pedalpalooza ride etiquette.
I saw tweets about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pedalpalooza.
That's really cool.
Portland's 3+ weeks of bike fun.
Yeah.
It's coming up. And if you want to help lead a ride, it helps to know how other people lead their rides.
Yeah. Or if you just want to like be in a ride, you know, there's a certain etiquette to just kind of being in a ride.
Ours was way more towards, I'll make a distinction real quick, because Chris McGraw was there, and I know he's leading another ride that's actually a how to lead
yeah,
a ride.
That's right. Yeah, he does that every year.
And I think that's on like June, I want to say June 3rd or 11th. I don't know.
It's right at the beginning.
But ours was just like being a rider.
Okay, so how to exist on the streets as a person in a big group ride.
And that's, yeah, I totally get that. That's not to say that, like, you know, not anybody can join. Like, anybody can join these rides. But there is a certain, I don't know, the bigger a ride gets, there is a certain etiquette that I think people who are more veterans to group rides really need to share with other people who, you know, who aren't.
Very much agree. Like we went over just pretty much simple things like, hey, keep your line. Like, don't be like fishtailing, deciding you need to like wind all over the whole lane.
Swerving can be dangerous when other people are near you.
Or like dudes that think that are definitely not in cyclocross, but acting like they are in cyclocross, like snaking up the, trying to ride through the middle of the ride, like, nah.
Or carving up people's lawns.
Yeah, just like, that stuff. It's like, hey, it's a group ride. If you want to go, there's so many races. You can just go. There's so many races, dude.
Not that hard to race people who want to race you.
Yeah, you're not that gnarly, dude.
Right.
Trust me, these people are trying to race you.
Did you guys go over the etiquette of corking?
We went over a little bit of corking, and we went over like basic, you know, like turning. Like if you want to peel off, like say you just say you don't want to be on this ride anymore, make sure you like look around and maybe communicate to the people and don't just like veer off and like careen into people. Yeah. Like I've seen it. It happens. Yeah. It sucks too, because it's usually somebody like riding fast on the sides and like talking about people about passing fast on the right. Like, not a good idea.
That's almost never a good idea on a bicycle anywhere.
Never a good idea.
But it happens, yeah.
It happens.
Especially in a group ride.
It's usually the people that are, like, snaking sort of thing. I think that's good. And then, like, on, taking over all the lanes when there's, like, there's four lanes and there's, like, a bike lane. Like, Broadway, there's no reason to take over all the lanes, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's like, okay, if the ride's,
the
like...
The ride of 12 people.
Yeah, yeah. If the ride's, like, 2,000 people, okay. I can give you that.
But it's the bottleneck ride.
If it's under like 200, don't. That's silly.
Well, it seems like you should leave space for all road users, no matter what their mode. But especially if they're transit, especially if they're like streetcar or something.
The big thing is like the history of it and the whole share the road concept in Portland and what kind of made these rides like ability to happen in the first place without getting a police escort. And getting a police escort and seeing that thing that age happened come back, I'm like, hell no. So people just need to like show some respect and realize that like, hey, yeah, there was a time when Portland was all like critical mass and like, you know, we were all like 2000 and taking up the streets and stuff, but like we made the word was heard, you know, and like we've had like a lot of like infrastructure improvements, and there's definitely a lot more, I think, acknowledgement from like car culture, you'd say, or whatever, just whatever, about just like, you know, share the road and just be like, be respectful. But
right, and seeing it go both ways, where it's like if you're riding on a bike with a group, you're like, hey, let's make this work for everybody. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And corking is one of those things where it gets political sometimes, because corking, like where if you have a large group of bicyclists and you're crossing against a stop sign or something like that.
So we were discussing that about, you know, if you see people corking and there's people corking and people are yelling.
And corking, just if anybody doesn't know, is standing in the middle of the street so a large group of bicyclists can pass stop traffic that would otherwise have the right of way.
Yeah, usually blocking the intersection. And you don't want to be corking if your ride's like 10 people, like, you know, if it's like 20 people,
it may not be
like,
the right move.
Don't go. Yeah, don't do it. It's not safe. You know, if there's like trains and TriMet, we were all like, just stop.
Right. Respect the train.
Don't cork the max.
Yeah, don't do it. It's like, I'm just like, I see it sometimes, I'm just like, oh my God.
Max takes over four blocks to stop, as the billboards say.
Yeah, like stop. We went over a lot of things like, you know, end of ride, like just sort of like consent, no means no. I've had lots of, you know.
Like if somebody says, do you want an ice cream cone? And you're like, no.
No, it's don't like, give more them like an ice cream cone. Do you want to ride home? Do you need a ride home? You know, and if somebody says no, that means like, no, that means doesn't.
Don't follow them home.
Doesn't mean like wait around and then follow them home and to say, oh, I'm going this way. And
I'm
like,
going this way anyways because that's like, where you're going. And it's like, and I would like to share an ice cream cone with you.
No.
That seems sketchy altogether. It's worth pointing those things out because like largely I feel like people are getting smarter overall in culture about kind of how relationships work and consent is important.
Yeah,
not just for sex, but especially for sex, but for everything else too. Like, if you don't want this person involved with you, people should hear that and respect it. So yeah,
yes.
And a lot of Pedalpalooza is like, I mean, there's a lot of single people riding around on these group rides, and they're like, "Hey, this is a good place to meet people," and it is. But you also have to do it the right way. So yeah,
yeah. We went over like I'll say this like we went over stuff like an old bike scene. You know, like especially I'd say like Zubomb. You know, it's like my main fan, you know, it's like, but we were pretty much like media blackout. Like you didn't show up on our rides and be all flashing your cameras around. Like you're like some spectator and like where you're taking pictures of us. Like we're, you know, it's like, we didn't know you. We're like, who's this dude taking pictures of us and stuff?
Back when it was unique to have a digital camera.
Yeah, totally. People had digital cameras back then. So we had like a media blackout. So there's not a lot of pictures of like that sort of era, especially, well, the big thing was on top of the meetup spot. The big thing was the meetup spot. But even still, it's like at the end of our, I'll say like, you know, dropout rides, we would have like particularly a bunch of us, we'd be drinking and having a good time, which a lot of times might be in the summer, might be like going and jumping in the river and like, you know, being half naked or whatever. And there's some dude over the side, like flashing his camera.
Right.
Bro, like, hey, can you stop?
I was not asking this.
Okay, here's the keys. Is that if somebody tells you to stop doing that,
stop whatever you're doing.
Better stop doing that.
Right.
And put it away.
It's about
and
respect.
Realize that, like, you just need to respect what people are doing here and just say, if people need to ask you a second time, that's usually not. On some rides, might be in a sort of, you know, friendly way, but on some rides might not be so friendly. Like people might just like that person will get basically told to leave.
Like don't poke the wild animal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing with digital cameras in general. Like at what point are you actually participating in whatever it is you're doing? And at what point are you now a spectator with a camera?
The observer effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, I'll say this,
and just enjoy
I don't mean to say, exactly. Enjoy the moment. That's the other thing I was talking about is people taking selfies on rides.
While you're in a group ride.
Like, and the number, like, I've seen that kind of increasing, especially in kind of like, you know, some of the, just as summer's coming around, all the rides are kind of just like, and
they're getting bigger and bigger.
There's people that are just like, Look at me. Taking a picture. And you're like, they're not, they're like all over the road. You're like, okay.
Oh, like while they're moving.
Like
on a bicycle rolling.
On a bicycle
looking at the
rolling,
screen, which has them on it.
And like trying to take a selfie.
It's
and
a Mobius
like,
strip.
Dude, put your phone away and just enjoy the time.
Right, right. Is it weird to you? I was just thinking like, obviously.
Also
I think
like sound system conflicts, like if there's two big
don't ride next to each other.
Blasting different music. It's not about noise, it's about fun.
On somebody else's ride and they have a sound system, this is the thing I know, and like trust
this
me
is good
I have
etiquette.
Always
thought about this
I have
too.
The bangin'est sound system crew
yes you do
in town, and trust me I know, and I always have this etiquette. If I'm on somebody else's ride and they have any sort of sound system, I'll ask them, is there any way I can, like, help out, first of all? Or, like, do you want to just use mine? Or I'll just, like, drift off to the back of the ride.
Like, if they're not going to change, then you will.
Yeah, I'll just drift away from them. And it's not that I'm trying to force what I'm basically saying, hey, use this, because I'd rather just enjoy, it's your ride. I mean, I just happen to have this, maybe. Or sometimes people, like, ask me to bring it along for like an end spot, and then we can connect them together.
Sure.
Sort of thing.
But if it's the Tom Waits ride, you don't show up with like, you know, all your Eve 6 CDs.
No, you don't do that. That would be like the,
as you show up with your Eve 6 CDs.
That would be
on
like, and I'll say this,
I'm going to start a ride.
And me and Garrel's ride etiquette thing, that would definitely be classified as our number one rule is don't be a dick.
Well, yeah. And so many of these things, it's the golden rule. Don't be a dick to others because you don't want them.
Be safe. Be respectful.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly it. Good rules for life.
Very small print that no one can read.
Right.
Don't be a dick.
Well, so here's the...
It's not.
It's the postscript.
Don't get me in trouble.
Hey, wait, this is for satirical purposes only.
Yes.
No, I was going to just ask... I think all three of us are kind of come from the era before smartphones. And I mean, most... I think statistically still most people do. But
I still don't have a smartphone, so there.
Technically, yeah. You have an iOS device. But I think the era of smartphones has changed the way that people think about photography and like what things are worth picturing.
Or participation.
Oh, yeah.
Because it used to be that...
Oh, participation, that's the other thing. Yep.
Yeah, so my question is just like, have you noticed like a large shift in culture in that way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get into like.
I think there's
stuff on
there's
it, but,
some,
but definitely I've noticed without, some of the biggest problems have been in like as far as like bad behavior as far as like consent stuff has been people with like cameras.
Ah,
and they'll
like
use
that's
it,
the easiest way to violate use, the consent
they'll,
idea.
They'll, this is how they'll use it and take pictures of a bunch of people they don't know.
Sure.
And they'll tag them and find out who they are and post them up in the ride thing and then tag them.
Right.
And then friend them.
And then creep on them.
And then creep on them.
There right. we go. And yeah. Facebook is easy to use for that purpose,
oh, it's
which
super
is
easy, yeah.
disappointing.
Another
yeah.
reason not to have a Facebook.
Right.
I deleted it off my phone.
I do find in a lot of the bigger rides, especially the legacy rides last year, there's a sense of... Without sounding like, you know, the old man, the kids these days. But there is this
sense, indulge you.
There is this sense of, like, I got to prove that I was on this ride. And the way that I know how to prove that I was on this ride is to, like, you know, Instagram it or social media it.
Pictures and, or it didn't happen.
Right.
Say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's
yeah,
BS.
We make fun of that a lot. But I think there is a sense just because people... who have grown up with that kind of access and that kind of attitude.
Sure. Well, and speaking for myself, I will say I have taken a fair number of self-facing camera photos.
Sure.
And I have put them up because I want to share this thing with people. But it is worth thinking about whether or not, like you were saying, does this take you out of the experience or not?
Well, and that's why I posed it as an open-ended question. You know, I think it has to be up to the individual, maybe also up to the group, because... You know, if it's affecting the group dynamic, I think it should be up to the group to say, like, hey, stop taking selfies while you're riding and just ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think the selfies were, that was definitely something. But the pictures at the, anyways, but, like, I definitely noticed I'll say if anybody out there is listening and thinks that nobody else is watching, people
are watching.
People, like, you know, drifting around the outside taking pictures, like, definitely notice you.
Just, Santa Claus.
Just to say, Santa Claus.
He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for fuck's sake. So, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So Pedalpalooza is here. Do you have two or three picks of like your things you are very excited about? Are you leading any rides?
Yes.
Are you guys doing like a float ride or
no? I'm doing instead of the metal marriage ride, since there's not a marriage,
nobody's getting married.
There's
this
not
year.
A metal marriage to be had this year.
Oh, it's a shame.
Me and Thomas and Guardrail are gonna do a pedal to the metal.
Okay,
ride
nice. So then, a musically themed sort of.
Yeah.
What kind of metal are we talking? Are we talking death metal, black metal?
All genres.
Okay.
All genres.
Anything
you want. It will be good. It'll be all genres, but good.
Oh, so it's not just metal.
No, it'll be all metal.
Oh, all genres of metal.
We're definitely going to have a way better burning pentagram this year, which should be awesome.
Oh, I missed the burning pentagram last year.
Oh, sweet.
I was going to ask, is there going to be aluminium there? But that's a dumb joke. I'm sorry. Okay. So, yes, you're leading the metal ride. And
that Loud and Lit with Dutch.
Loud and Lit, which I think you mentioned last time as well, which is it's just a lot of noise. That's the one where people can bring their sound systems and turn them all up.
Oh, yeah. We want everybody to bring everything and turn it all up and as bright as possible.
Right. As the stated purpose of that ride, then that's okay.
This would be Loud and Lit.
It's all consent.
And then at the end spot, if you're on the up and up, the big thing is we just connect them all together like Transformer style.
More than meets the ear.
Well, I'll say this. Last year it was like four of the biggest sound systems and we connected them all up together and we had the DJ booth trailer.
Right. A mobile DJ booth towed by bicycles.
Yeah, with Melonhead and Freak.
I really wish I had a cool bike scene name.
Yeah?
Maybe, who gives them to you? Is it like a trail name where someone else has to give it to you?
I think so. I think you have to go on a vision quest.
Those are the good ones. You don't want to be the person that's like, oh, I gave myself that nickname.
No, I'm, they call me they call me Lemonhead. I'm Lemonhead because I'm into like sweet things, but I'm a little sour.
Yeah.
No. Mine
came from, obviously, SysFail, so System Failure.
Yes.
Sure.
It was basically a condensed version of that.
The system is down.
System's down. Like, oh, Brian's, like, fucking just, like,
your system
like denied these people whatever they wanted. And, like, he's just, like, done stuff that people didn't think he was going to do. Like, oh, my God. He's, like, totally effed their whole system up. Like, I was always about, like, yeah. F the system, whatever.
Right. He's such an anarchist. It's like a system failure. Nice. So there's those two. So what did I say? You're leading rides. Are there any rides you're not leading that you're really excited about?
I'm excited that when I heard there wasn't going to be a Prince and Bowie ride, I was excited to see that my other friends of friends, we're doing another, the Janet Madonna ride.
Oh, yeah. And there's an Aaliyah and versus Outkast ride?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
But the other one, the Janet Madonna one, I was like, oh, my God, they're doing it the same night me and Dutch want to do Loud and Lit.
Oh.
And they were meeting, like, earlier, and I was all like, hey, do you just want to, like, do you have a sound system? And they're like, not really, like a little something. And I was all like, do you just want to borrow one of ours?
That way both rides can coexist.
And so they're going to meet up later.
That's fantastic.
So that'd be great. So they can like totally, you know, regulate their ride and like be all like booming.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you know these people beforehand?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's friends making friends stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cooperation.
Yeah.
Very cool. It is the last year for the Bowie versus Prince ride.
Yep.
So I'll be going to that one for sure. Yep. Yeah.
I think it was mentioned that the first one was actually they met up with before Dropout Prom. Another one I'll probably be doing.
Yeah, Lily was on the KBOO bike show. She called in and talked to them about the very first Bowie versus Prince ride.
Yeah. Yes.
So anybody who generously archived by Chris Smith from Portland Transport.
Yeah.
There's a great interview with her about that. And Megan Tenna from the World Naked Bike Ride. A bunch of legacy stuff. And the last interview from them on that show, it's this month's KBOO Bike Show, was a guy from Philadelphia who's putting together like a 1930s like Lennon ride or something.
Really?
Of lawn games and stuff. Yeah, so that's a thing that's happening in Philly later on. If anybody's close to that, they might want to look into that. I don't have the info in front of me, but.
Well, I'll say before Dropout had themes, and our big thing,
the Dropout Bike Club.
Yeah, Dropout Bike Club had themes for our rides, or when Pedalpalooza was happening, sort of thing. We would basically just go out and just have big parties, and they showed up to, but we, one thing we were always known for is like, we were we had the big sound systems.
Right. You were the audio files.
There was really only three of them, which was like North Freak and then two of the Dropouts had like decent sized sound systems. There wasn't anybody else out there just had like a little boombox maybe duct taped to their handlebars sort of thing.
Which is acceptable, but
which
not
is
impressive.
Totally acceptable, not impressive. So they showed up to our ride and there was a whole ton of people there. and, you know, ready to party. And they're like, hey, can we play this playlist? And we're all like, great.
Sure.
Straight. And we just popped it in and turned it up.
And that's fantastic.
And it was nothing but Dave Matthews' band for the rest of the night.
And I think we went to...
Well, they played Crash 100 times.
No, it was Bowie and Prince. But we went, I remember we went to the top of Tabor and parted face, if I remember right. I think I have a picture, and there's a whole bunch of us all topless, not on the internet.
Of course not. That would be wrong. And would go against what we were telling you earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. I was even topless, and I think I had something.
That's shocking.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Well, yes.
It was pretty awesome. I very much love that picture.
It's good to have memories.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you're really excited, just as we kind of wrap up? Anything else you're really excited about coming
up? Well, there's like the Belligerentes are like doing their 20th anniversary.
Portland's original Schwinn bike club.
Yep. So they did their Belligerente Ball, which I went to the other night.
That's right. I had to miss that, sadly.
And they're doing Girl White Bike. They're leading it this year.
The Belligerentes are leading Girl White Bike.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a history crossover.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what else? And then, also Paz. So real quick, just an interjection here. So we do the Skillshare every other week.
Okay.
Right.
And if people wanted to be involved, they could be.
Just show up PazPDX. Anyways.
PazPDX.com.
Every Wednesday we do something, but every other Wednesday is a Skillshare. And then the Wednesdays in between are a movie night. Like we showed Rad.
Ooh.
And we showed and then I think the next one we're showing Clunkers.
Nice.
So for Pedalpalooza.
Yeah.
For Pedalpalooza, we're going to meet up for Wednesday night movie night, Paz, at Slingshot Lounge.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And that's then really we're going to do a gravel-ish ride.
Yes.
Down to Paz and watch Clunkers.
That sounds fantastic.
That sounds great.
And then
great.
For the other Wednesday night, which I think is this Wednesday, maybe. I don't know. I got to look at the calendar. But Dropout hosts at Paz a game night. But for Pedalpalooza, we decided to do a game night ride. And we're going to meet up at Guardian Games.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
And
Portland's premier gaming shop,
yeah.
I would say.
And they're super stoked to have us.
That's great.
And we're going to be there for like probably, you know, meet up for like an hour or so. And they got like a bar there and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, awesome.
So listener Eric is, he was suggesting someone from Guardian Games for an interview. Because part of Simpler Living could possibly be like playing games on tabletops.
Sure.
So,
tabletops versus video
games and phone and thumbs and things. So,
we have a big
idea.
We have a big game night at PAS. A lot of people, I want to say a lot of people, for us, it's like, you know, our little crew, but there's it's a pretty good social night of like, you know, 12 of us playing like sometimes pretty long involved games.
So, if that's your thing, and you're anywhere near Portland, you can apply to become a member of PAS.
Yeah, it's
like a thing that can happen.
It's $60 a month.
That's not so bad.
You just have to get through our interview process, which is basically a dance team application.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You have to try
so
out for it?
You got to answer questions.
Sparkle Motion.
Yes.
Who is Sparkle Motion?
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Yes.
it's a pleasure to talk to you, Sispo. Do you have time to hang out with us while we look in our mailbag and page through the news?
I do.
Fabulous. All right. Well, this actually, we've been talking about Pedalpalooza things, so we have a few more things on the calendar that we have underscored before and will underscore again until they happen.
There's so many things.
There are so many things happening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, seriously. This is, if you like things, come to Portland in June.
Yeah.
If you like things.
My goodness, do we have things.
Just ride around on bikes. Just have Pedalpalooza calendar.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
And we should probably clarify that you can actually find the Shift calendar, the Pedalpalooza calendar, shift2bikes.org. It's right there.
Yes, and I would trust that over the print one.
Yes, things change. What else is on the calendar, Aaron?
Well, coming up June 10th, the Little Lebowski Urban Achiever Ride.
My housemate Jeff is going to play the dude. It's a tribute to the Big Lebowski.
Yes.
The funniest comedy, they say, of the 20th century.
Really?
Yes, that's what they're touting
it
as this year on the poster. So, yes.
Whoa. I just lost everything.
No, and you now didn't. It's here.
Okay. June 11th, the last Bowie Prince ride.
As previously mentioned.
Yes. June 11th also is the Grill by Bike ride.
Before the last Bowie Prince ride.
Yes, you could conceivably do both. June 15th, Biking Viking.
Yes, Gerald mentioned. They're going to have a special guest. I was looking at the calendar, and it promises a special guest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet if I knew anything about Viking football, you know, the team from Minnesota?
Could be a thing.
Anyways, I could name a player, and it would have been funny.
Yes.
June 18th, the third annual Bike Mechanic Challenge.
It's sold out. We've been promoting
it. You can't go.
And apparently it worked. Whoa. So stand outside the
local. I didn't even get tickets.
We're not even in the bike industry.
No.
Wait, or are we? We don't know.
I mean, we could have snuck in, maybe.
June 21st, the Pollen Ride.
On a new date.
To host this, yes. It's a new date from the one we told you before. So 21st, it's a Tuesday. And this is the one that Gerald and I are hosting. It's about, do you have allergies? Come and hang out with other people who have allergies and the people who love them. As we're going to have some music. There'll be a sound system on that ride. And we're hopefully going to learn something about allergies. So there's that.
Right on. And way far off into the future.
Post-palooza.
Postal palooza. Oh, I'm
going to
start that.
Everywhere.
I'm going to start that ride. We're going to write letters and then go to every blue box in the city.
You know, life is too short to waste your time standing in line at the post office.
Postal Palooza by stamps.com. Sorry.
Side Make an there. Investment today.
Forever stamps.
That's right.
July 16th, Brompton Urban Challenge.
That's my birthday.
I'm looking for a fourth member of my team.
Yes.
But teams of four. Only one of you needs to have a Brompton.
Yes. And then everybody, a folding
and
bicycle.
You can rent those at the recycle.
That's true. So anyone can do this if they just sign up for a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we got some headlines.
Hey, let's check those out. We don't have like a sound bump.
No, I was going to try and find
a
sound.
We already
did
that.
Yeah.
From the Salt Lake City Tribune. Oh, there's
there we go.
Thing. The internship that we talked about when Maddie and Sean and
Fat Rob.
Yeah. I was going to call him Fat Mike.
Oh, true. I wanted to call him that too.
That's the guy from NoFX.
Maybe he looks like a Mike.
Oh,
you're right. You're right. Okay. Yeah.
The unique internship: travel 10,000 miles in 38 days and 15 states
on a train.
While most college interns will spend the summer slaving away in offices, Elena Studier talked her way into something more dramatic, traveling 10,000 miles in 38 days in 20 major cities in 15 states. The Ithaca, New York native convinced her bosses at the National Association of Rail Passengers that sending her on the trip would help promote how easy it is to travel the country by Amtrak, local transit, and bicycle. While many tourists travel Europe and Asia by train, it is yet to catch on in America. That's because our train system sucks. And Studier
hopes could be better.
To help change that. Yeah, that's not to say Amtrak.
But our overall rail system.
But the whole rail system.
Right.
Yes, as a whole.
You know, we had an oil spill in the Columbia River here. Like yesterday or something.
Yeah, I was reading headlines.
They're evacuating Mosier.
Something like that.
Groundwater, gotten groundwater.
Yep. Good goddamn. It's the worst thing. It's, our rail system is not
the best. One of the headlines on the Oregonian, I should have included it was like, Mosier dodged a bullet. It could have been worse.
How could it have been worse?
I don't know.
There's oil everywhere.
Someone could have set it
on fire. Right.
Oh, no, it is on fire.
There was some fire. So anyways, that's been happening, but that's over
here.
They
said it didn't get in the river. It was only like a little bit in the river.
But that's a fib because they had to set up containment so that the oil slick didn't spread.
Didn't get in.
Our train system could be better.
Anyway, so like anything bad that we mentioned that happened for the rest of the day.
But that doesn't,
in the bus yard, I was just like, well, you dodged a bullet. It could have been a lot worse.
I think that it should be noted.
Get shot. That would have been.
Yeah. Right. Well, you dodged a bullet there.
You only got shot in the leg.
No, you
quite literally.
You didn't actually.
No, one of the things that should be said is that Amtrak leases nearly all of their tracks from other rail companies.
Yes.
And the other rail companies seem to be the ones that are irresponsible at times with maintenance and all these safety things. Yes. So Amtrak offering this unique internship. That's kind of the goal here.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, yes. That's great.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to travel, I don't know, 5 states.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
And I mean by rail.
Yeah, you know. Totally.
And bike.
Not by foot.
Not so much. Unless it was like where that, like that convergence is. Where
the four
like,
corners?
Yeah, the four corners.
Do 4 states by foot in like 15 feet.
Right.
Yeah, just find the political line.
Then wherever that fifth state is the closest around there.
There you go.
To that.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like straight to Death Valley.
Right.
Yeah. Across Arizona. What could go wrong?
Next up from bikeportland.org. The BTA will change their name, expand their mission to walking, transit, and political action.
And this made me say holy shit today because that was very unexpected. This
yes.
The Bicycle Transportation Alliance, no longer just for bicyclists.
Yeah. I didn't know what to think about this. But the bit here is realizing that some members might cringe at the thought of the BTA without bicycle. Sadowski says the organization is making 2 key promises.
That's Rob Sadowski, the head yes. of the organization at this time.
We won't accept a partial win if bikes are cut out. For example, he continued, if 82nd ends up with bus rapid transit but no protected bikeways, we would not call it a win. Bikes will always be a high priority.
That's good.
And the second promise, quote, we won't take resources away from our current bike advocacy work and put it toward transit or walking.
Equal rights.
So that implies
equal rights.
They're gonna like bring on more people for transit.
Sure, and walking. Yeah, I wonder if Oregon Walks might ever converge. I don't know. There are pedestrian advocacy
right.
group here
well,
in this
I
state.
Mean,
so
yeah, I'm all for a holistic approach. I'm all for like all of the advocacy people. When it comes to transportation anyways and like active transportation, talking with each other. And
oh, sure.
And like, I don't know, like on the same page with each other.
Have a unified approach.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're going to get a lot more done that way.
We're all working against combustion.
Yes.
Even transit, which combusts.
But it's, yeah, but it's not like one thing.
Right,
one
right.
Solo passenger.
It's like, how can we make this system work for everyone?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very cool. Well, best wishes to them. I hope this goes well.
Yeah.
I hope the media is kind to them. We're
hope,
the media,
I hope
and
they,
I hope we've been kind.
I hope the social media is kind to them.
Seriously, yeah.
They won't be.
It's a big ask these days. Bigger than ever before.
They're not kind to anything.
All right. Well, hey, you know, we may or may not have an even-handed approach, but there's one thing we definitely always do have.
Hard-hitting journal.
Hey, we got mail.
And hard-hitting journalism. Yes, thank you.
I was meaning to get cut off by that. First up from Campsite, speaking of hard-hitting journalism.
Oh, yeah.
No, you should definitely not pee in the shower.
Oh, we take it all back.
Plumbing for sinks and showers have built-in pee traps. That is the letter P.
The letter P, not the word P.
Not the urine P. Pee traps built into the plumbing is not easy to clean. The urine will sit in there and attach itself to the plumbing walls and build up over time. Where I and other maintenance men will eventually have to deal with it.
That E.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry.
If you're concerned about wasting water, and you should be, use the let it mellow method and clean your toilet.
So, Sisvale, do you have a position on this?
Pee in the toilet.
Okay. Do you have a position
or
on
outside.
The...
I pee in the backyard all the time.
Okay. So you don't have to worry about water waste. And that, I mean, aside from what you're
just
releasing.
Peeing on bamboo.
Yeah.
It's going to get in the aquifer.
What's an aquifer?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, the groundwater.
But no, it's
but just, it's all like pumped from the city anyways.
So I was trying to make some dumb pun, but I didn't have anything to follow it up with.
What's an aquifer?
Honestly, for anyone who's comfortable with it, oftentimes after dark, I will pee in my backyard.
Really?
But I also live next to like a couple of one two-story building, and that's why I wait till after dark. But I don't know. I feel like...
I fear that would get me evicted.
Well, yeah, and you have to consider like what your property allows you to do.
You let the dog do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, no comment.
Right, no, that's... But specifically on the Yellow Mellow, I will repeat my thing here that at some point you do have to flush it. And especially if it's like, say you share a house and everyone has been sleeping in a bed all night, letting things concentrate, toxins concentrate in their system, and they all let them out into the toilet bowl in the morning.
That first one.
That's got to go quick.
Well, okay.
That's got to go quick.
You got to close the bowl.
Close the bowl.
Oh,
one,
right, right.
Stay hydrated, too. And like, yeah. Okay, last one out in the morning, flush.
Okay, right. Just don't let it set for hours and hours.
Right.
And like Campsite says, clean your fucking toilet.
Clean your toilet.
He didn't use the expletive, but that's, no.
I have in the past. I don't now. But I would still advocate for such usage as the little, like, toilet disc in the tank.
Oh, to keep the water like a little clean. Smell good thing?
Well, it keeps the water, like, it, like, adds, like, a bleaching agent or something into the water. So, like, as you flush it, it also kind of helps keep the bowl clean.
Yeah.
Helps keep the water smelling fresh. You know, yes, there's chemicals in there, so... I don't know. I'm probably contradicting something I said earlier.
Oh, probably.
About chemicals. And
most people do. That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But okay. I'm all for something like that. Some, you know, if you can find one that can fit into your ethos.
Keep it clean.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Campsite. We appreciate that. And it makes me feel for like all the maintenance men that I've. Well, I'm not going to admit to anything, but you know, all the ones I've known who might have had to deal with stuff like that.
Put out.
No, not me. Not me. No, sir. Tim Mooney.
And for the record, I'm not going to pee in the backyard.
Okay, all right.
If any of my housemates happen to be listening.
Yes, all right.
It's on record now.
On record.
Tim Mooney comments on the extra 300 episode.
And speaking of which, let me just go over. I wanted to mention that we have lots of episode 300 goodies.
Yes.
For anybody who caught them, like we posted some of them retroactively, just so they'd all be grouped together in the blog posts.
Right.
But we now have four episode 300. Yes.
Four 300s.
We have the episode with monologues, you and I. We have the interview, we have Heinz Schucke telling stories.
Yes.
We have your brother calling in, and I was talking to him on the phone.
Yep.
And then we have this little gem that you just made.
Oh, no. You're going to actually play it?
No, no.
Oh.
It's already, it's in the feed. People have heard it.
Okay. Yeah, I can't listen to it.
It's hilarious. I will just say this. If you haven't heard episode 300 XM, it's Aaron Flores. Aaron Flores does a little sketch about a bike mechanic. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So anyways, Tim Mooney's comment on this is, this was pretty much the greatest episode ever. Wow, really? Out of all of them? We need more ironic dude bro episodes. I'd like his take on truing wheels and replacing cables. Basically, this could be its own show.
Yeah.
It could be.
A spinoff, as it were. I was just wondering if there's... I won't give away how things go in this little sketch, but is it like, oh my God, they killed Kenny? Like, is it going to be...
I mean, I never thought about it any further than just that one sketch.
So it remains to be seen, yeah.
But, I mean, if there is to be more of... I don't even remember what I named this person.
Yeah.
But if there is to
Pete
be,
Willie Williamson.
I mean, right.
From Billy Pete's Cycle Shop. Yeah, bros.
Right.
So, yeah, it's well worth listening to. And so you did a couple takes of this. And I released all the takes.
Or you uploaded all the takes.
Because it's funnier. Like, the more you listen to it, the funnier it gets. Yeah, it was
so
funny as one, but it was even more funny.
Let's talk about how this came to be published.
Yes.
Not necessarily how I came about, like, doing this, because it was all just kind
Who
of...
Who knows where that came from?
I don't even know, man. I was like, shit, I got to do a monologue?
That's right.
How about this instead? But yeah, how this came to be published was I, you know, submitted you the audio.
Yes.
The whole project for the monologues. And, you know, you went and edited it, and a few days went by, and I was, you know, I haven't listened to any of the monologues yet. I haven't listened to that episode. I don't know if I will. I probably should. But anyway, I said, like, so what'd you think of the sketch? And you're like, what?
What? Well, I haven't listened to it.
What are you talking about? And
you're like, yeah, oh, that other, like, muted track.
Yeah, there
check
was
that
this,
out.
There was this other track that I put down that wasn't necessarily a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so then it became this whole thing.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. PBJ Matt sent us a link to what looks like a pretty cool documentary.
Yes. Doesn't get released until next year. Maybe.
Maybe. It's been touring in select venues and theaters and backyards.
Bike
they
shops
say.
And theaters and yeah. whatnot. Yes. But I thought I'd share this. I came across it today or a few days ago.
Yeah. And
today,
that
when
this,
he wrote this.
From Blackburn. It's the Comes With Baggage movie. So
it looks, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Adventure cycling plays a pretty prominent role in the trailer.
They do, yeah. Yeah, and I would imagine they're kind of the national authority on people going places, traveling on a bicycle. So that's a thing that, yeah.
A history of bicycle travel from bone shakers to bike packing.
There's a couple of cool, sweet, vintage-looking photos of people on bone shakers.
Yes.
Yeah, old bicycles without any sort of suspension or comfort. So, yeah. And then my friend Orange, our friend Orange, of Purple and Orange from Santa Monica.
He's the one that wears orange.
Yes, yes. Yes, quite so. We'll let you guess about Purple. But I knew they live in L.A., and my friend Stephanie is just moving back there. She had been up here for a couple of years, and she's been on a couple of bike trips that Adele has hosted. And so I was thinking, like, well, I don't want this love of bike touring to die because she's gotten into this. And there are a couple of cool places to camp outside of L.A. Not in L.A. probably, but outside of L.A.
There's some cool places to camp within L.A., I'm sure.
Right, right.
It's maybe not, like, you know.
It might not be accepted by the authorities. Right. But yeah, I said, hey, Purple and Orange, are you guys able to help her find her way around, you know, bike camping near L.A.? And they said, yes. So that's why they're the coolest, among other reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. And then lastly.
Jim.
Jim rode 73 miles.
Congratulations.
And this is Jim, who's been kind of recovering from an injury and from a scare because, you know.
I have yet to ride 73 miles this year. In like one go.
Jim's got you beat.
Man.
Yeah.
And he like had a broken toe and everything.
Right, right. So he's back.
I'm such a slacker.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that for him. And yeah, so good job, Jim, and keep it up. Well, hey, this has been a good show. It's a good time to wrap it up.
Sure.
So let's do that. Do that one more time.
I don't know. What do you guys say? Boom. What's going on?
Yeah, the theme music's coming.
Pew. I was just saying while we were watching Red and then the other movie we were watching, BMX Bandits.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like I was saying this Pelpalooza. The biggest thing that I really want to do is make really just some little stupid sound on my bike. Like it's like pew pew. Or,
you just have a soundboard you can trigger just sounds like, from. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
engage afterburners.
So,
yeah, Ram scoop.
In BMX Bandits, every time they did a trick in the scenes, it would be like,
that's fantastic. And I bet there's someone out there with a synthesizer that can make that happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just make those sounds with my mouth.
That's
right.
That's what I do. You know.
Totally. No, that's like friends of ours when Adele hosts these bike camping trips. Like, there's this thing, and I don't know where it came from. Maybe it came from BMX Bandits. But it's just someone like we're, you know, riding fast down a hill and someone goes, pew, pew. So
really?
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
I say that about my helmet a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's a laser helmet. So pew. I'll be like, pew, pew, when I put it on.
That's fantastic. Okay, now here come your credits. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan Jillian for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sound.
Marcus Norman for graphic design. Check out the new header.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellemgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Buzinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubich, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden. Welcome back. Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Ave Nose, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Culey, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Weller,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy, the King of Division,
Josh Zissen, Richard G. Guthrie Straw,
Christopher Barnett, Brandon Shelby, Campsite,
Aaron Green, Mac Nurse, David, Catherine Minchin,
Nathan Poulton, Chris Rawson, and Rory Close. Now brush your teeth
and clean your toilet.
That's right. I could use this sample to do some noise removal with.
Oh, yeah?
Although every time I do that, like, basically I think it cuts out certain frequencies.
Uh-huh.
And so it does come out sounding a little funk.
Oh.
I think it's probably better just to, like, leave it as
like
is.
Like the voices don't sound quite natural or...
Well, yeah, when it takes out the frequencies that the noise is in, it takes out those frequencies in the voices, too.
Sure.
So it depends. Like, if it's a light noise, then you can usually do that, and it, you know, it works okay. But if there's a lot of noise.
Since my voice works on fan frequencies.
Yeah, exactly. Say you had a wall that you spackled with, like, an orange spackle. And
yes.
Then, that spackle got all over the carpet. But you had this magical device that could get rid of everything that was orange. So you apply that, and suddenly you have no carpet.
You got to respackle.
Well, but you got, like, you know, all the orange spackle went all over the carpet.
Yeah.
And then you remove the orange, but with it you remove all the carpet the orange was on.
Right.
That's what the audio is like.
Okay.
So
you end up with figurative holes.
You do.
In your figurative carpet.
Yeah. Yeah. The rug no longer ties the room together. All right,
okay, I'm ready.
All set.
I'm ready.